Johnny J, who came from Hudson Bay to join when the war broke out. He went and told his pa, and then he told his ma he would write what it's all about.
Well, 100 years ago today, Arthur Fields was riding high on the charts with that. The world was torn up with the Great War, also known as the War to End All Wars. The Spanish flu was killing people all over the world. And the Boston Red Sox were getting ready to claim a world championship. All of that the subject of a wonderful new piece in The Athletic by our next guest, Jen McCaffrey. Jen, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Really, what a wonderful bit of research you've done on this. What drew you to this story of the 1918 team?
Yeah, no, it was really something my editor presented to me about, a couple months ago, really, of just, you know, how about looking into this as the 100-year anniversary. Obviously, that year meant so long, so much for so many for so long, until they won again in 04. But, you know, we heard so much about 1918, but really didn't really know that much, or at least I didn't know that much about it, and figured might be interesting for people to read about. It was definitely a process of kind of uncovering a lot of it. A lot of good books are out there about that year and about that team, and just sort of the whole everything that was going on in the world at that time. So yeah, it was a cool project to do. Today is the exact date of when they won in 1918. So,
and that whole season was a bizarre one, and then capped by a really unusual World Series. The season a bit truncated because of the war, and then you get to the World Series that had everything from possible fight on a train, an injury on a train, to a heroic effort from Babe Ruth, to a guy, minor leaguer, coming out of nowhere to be one of the heroes of the series, to the whole thing almost ending because of the possibility of a strike.
Yeah, the whole season itself sort of was played in the background of the, World War One, and obviously the U.S. had just entered the war. Had been going on for a while, but the U.S. entered the war at the end of 1917, so it really affected the 18th season, and players were leaving for the war, or leaving for a war industry, and then eventually they made baseball kind of a non-essential industry. So players had to be drafted. They were going to cut the season short, and they Harry Frazee sort of lobbied with the government in Washington to kind of extend the season to September. There wasn't even going to be a World Series, and then he fought for that and got them into the World Series. And then the series itself, there was a player strike right in game five because the gate receipts were reduced, and the owners were trying to take more money from the players, even though there was less money, all around. And there was a lot of interesting tidbits, throughout that made it, a lot of times people feel like or think that history is boring, or, and take history class in school, but this is pretty interesting all the way through.
Well, yeah, Babe Ruth, of course, one of the heroes of that Red Sox team. But as you point out in your piece, he came out as the game one starter. But by that point in his career, he was much more interested in being an offensive star than being a pitcher.
Yeah. Because of the war, really, he got an opportunity to start hitting because, the team was so thin by that point in terms of just, players that they had on their roster. And so gets a chance, to kind of get some more at-bats than he would normally have pitching, obviously, because pitchers hit back then, even in the American League. And so once he got regular at bats, and people saw, what he was able to do with his bat, and he had more home runs that year than I think almost everybody had in any year except for one up to that point. Really wowed people with the bat that year, and that's kind of the year he started to turn. That kind of started to turn things around for him in the sense that he, only pitched really significantly the following year, and then obviously moved on to the Yankees. So. Have to give, tremendous credit and a lot of research from Glenn Stout, written several books, and I talked to him a couple times throughout the process of writing that, to, you know, kind of was able to spell some things out for me, and especially with what was going on with Ruth and everything. So it was pretty interesting.
Well, yeah, and the other great Ruth story from the World Series is a mysterious injury on the train from Chicago to Boston, and an injury that was reported differently depending on what paper you happen to be reading.
Yeah, that was another thing, kind of coming across all the different variations of how things are described paper to paper. But yeah, that the train ride back then from Chicago to Boston was about a day. So the main story that I sort of came across was that, you know, obviously Ruth throughout the end of his career, and even, you know, from the beginning on, was known as sort of a party animal, I guess, in current day terms, and was helping one of his friends on the team, Walt Kinney, celebrate his 25th birthday, and they were running through the train cars and punching the straw hats of every guy on the train out with their fists, and one of his punches went awry and either hit the side of the car or through a window, or no one knows really what exactly happened, but he ended up with like a sprained finger on his pitching hand, and still came out and pitched the next day, and got roughed up a little bit. He had a stretch of 29 and two-thirds scoreless innings in the World Series that I think was a record until Whitey Ford broke it in the 60s. But he ended up winning that game after, you know, even with kind of a sprained finger, so sort of reminded me a little bit of Curt Schilling in 04 in the LCS with the bloody sock there. So kind of a funny parallel in a way. But yeah, that was a interesting story to come along.
We're talking with Jim McCaffrey of The Athletic, one of the other heroes for the Sox, an unlikely hero, and a guy who had started out his professional career not in baseball, but as an acrobat. And when his partner died, he decided to play baseball. Was kind of at the end of the line in his career, and the only reason the Red Sox used him is because he was too old to get drafted.
Yeah, so they had signed George Whiteman in the offseason. Had been a minor leaguer, you know, for a lot of his career, and only played, I think, 15 major league games, even across, you know, 10 or 12 years prior to coming on with the Red Sox. But because of the draft and because of, you know, the war and rosters being short, he got a lot of playing time that year. I think he played about 70 games that year. And then when the World Series started, the Cubs and the Cubs manager knew that Babe Ruth struggled against left-handed pitching, so he threw left-handers out every game. I think it was every game. It was definitely the first three games. And because Ruth, you know, didn't hit too well against lefties, and they kind of were riding the hot hand with George Whiteman. Ruth pitched in game one, and Whiteman played left field and had a great game, and they kind of just stuck with him the rest of the series in left field. So Ruth only was in the game, or in the series, I guess, game one and four when he pitched, and then he kind of came in the final game in game six after Whiteman made this spectacular catch that sounded like something JBJ would make here at Fenway, and kind of hurt himself on a catch, and I guess Bruce came in for the final inning of game six, but sort of like an aftermath almost, or an afterthought, because Whiteman had such a tremendous series, so... another character, another kind of colorful thing to kind of round out that whole series.
And 100 years ago today, the Red Sox wrap it up and clinch the World Series, but there's no celebration, there's no parade. The players walk away with a whopping $1,100 apiece as the winners share, and then as punishment, no rings, no World Series medallions, no keepsake at all for the world champs.
Yeah, so they, because they had this strike before game five, and they kind of refused to go onto the field while they were trying to figure out, you know, why the owners were basically taking most of the money from the World Series gate receipts, the National Commission, which is basically, you know, the MLB front offices back then, wouldn't give them their, you know, what the equivalent now is a World Series ring. They wouldn't give them the pins that you know, every team you know, before that, that had won the World Series had gotten. And, you know, for decades and decades afterwards, you know, guys like Harry Hooper and Andy Whiteman and Dave Sheen, their second baseman, everyone would write letters and try to petition to baseball to get, you know, recognition after the fact. And they were kept being told no, no, no. And when Glenn Stout first started writing about kind of this team, this long-forgotten team in the late 80s, he kind of went to the Red Sox and said, you know, this, they still haven't gotten recognized for this 1918 World Series, so maybe we should, you know, try again. And the Red Sox kind of went to Major League Baseball in 1993 on the 75th anniversary of that World Series. And at that time, Faye Vincent had kind of stepped down as commissioner under, you know, kind of some, he was basically kicked out as commissioner that year, and there was really no one in charge. And so when the Red Sox went to MLB with that request, no one was there to say no. And so they ended up having a ceremony here at Fenway, and Glenn Stout basically was put in charge of finding ancestors of the players. All the players had died. The last player had died in 1986. So there were no players, unfortunately, left to kind of get their medallions, but a lot of the players' families ended up coming, and they had a ceremony here in September of 93 to kind of commemorate that team and finally, you know, recognize their accomplishments.
Well, it really is a wonderful piece. Check it out. Jim McCaffrey writing about the 1918 World Series champion Red Sox in The Athletic. Tonight, a team that wants to make history as well. We get to see the return of Chris Sale. How much will he throw tonight, and how important is it that he not only looks good but feels good?
Yeah, I think that's kind of the key here. He hasn't pitched in a few weeks, obviously, so they're only and the other fact is that there's the minor league season is over, so he hasn't had a chance to kind of go on rehab assignment like he normally would have, so he's only pitching two innings tonight. This would, you know, sort of be like a rehab start for him. So they're limiting him to two innings tonight, and then going to go to Nathan Eovaldi out of the bullpen for the next, you know, 3 to 4 from there. I think, you know, the biggest thing is maybe not necessarily how he looks tonight, but how he feels tomorrow, how that shoulder feels, how he bounces back over the next few days. And, you know, if all goes well with, you know, tonight and the next day and how he feels, and he'll pitch three innings on Sunday here against the Mets, and they'll kind of go from there and kind of keep building him up till you know, the end of September. So it'll all kind of hinge on tomorrow and how he feels, you know, having thrown what maybe, you know, 40 pitches or so tonight.
Jim McCaffrey of The Athletic with us here on Downtown. Jim, thanks as always for visiting with us. Enjoy the game tonight. We'll talk with you again soon.
Thanks very much for having me.